Good morning and Merry Christmas. Let's sing this morning, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Let's stand together and sing.
Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, born to set Thy people free from our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in Thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth Thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born Thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now Thy gracious kingdom bring. By Thine own eternal Spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By Thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to Thy glorious throne.
You can be seated.
Will be upon His shoulder. And His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Wonderful. When He did His many miracles, the scripture says, the people wondered. Counselor, the people said, no one ever spoke the way this man does. The Mighty God, He is the God-man. He said that He and the Father are one. The Everlasting Father, it was by Him, the living Word, that all things were created. He is the designer of the whole universe. The Prince of Peace, there will never be lasting peace on earth until He comes again to reign in righteousness. But He is also the Prince of Peace in other ways. None can have peace with God apart from Him. And the peace that He made through the blood of His cross. The full meaning of these words from Isaiah should give us enough strength, hope, and joy to face any crisis, endure any sorrow, meet any temptation. How has Jesus shown you recently that He is Wonderful Counselor?
Let's sing, O Come All Ye Faithful.
O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold Him, born the King of ages. O come, let us adore Him. Come, let us adore Him. Come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him.
Take some time this morning and just have prayer. What we'd like for you to do, if you could, is to break up in maybe groups two or three or four people, and maybe share requests if you'd like to. But let's just take some time in prayer. We're going to take about a couple of minutes, so gather around in groups if you would. And in about 2 or 3 minutes, Jim is going to come up and lead us in prayer at the end of that.
Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. Thank you for this time of prayer, Lord, when we can get on our knees and seek you. Lord, open our hearts this morning to what you want us to hear. Lord, what you want us to take from this place. Lord, I pray that you will bind the evil one from this whole campus this morning, Lord. Help us to focus on you. Help us to remember the reason that we're even here, Lord. Lord, you sent your Son to die on a cross for us. Lord, what a gruesome thing that was, Lord, and we forget about that and how important it was sometimes, Lord. Help us to remember that, Lord, that you came as a babe and you died for us. Lord, help us to remember this December, Lord, what we can do to help your kingdom. Lord, help us to go the extra mile to help somebody, to encourage somebody, to smile at somebody, to invite somebody to church. Lord, help us to be in your word. Help our hearts to be open and our minds to be willing to focus on you. Lord, I thank you for each family that is here this morning, Lord, that's represented. Lord, I just pray for each home, Lord, that we will be a place that people will see you. And Lord, that we'll be a church where people can come and they will see you within this church. Lord, I thank you for the praise team that's up here. Lord, I thank you for the staff of this church. I thank you for the people of this church. Lord, help us to get away from the stuff. Focus on you this morning. Be with Pastor Fred as he comes and he brings the message, Lord. Just speak through him and allow us to just saturate what you have for us this morning. Thank you for this prayer time. Help us to continue to worship, however each and every one of us need to do that this morning. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you remain standing, let's sing together, All Hail to the King.
Bright morning star, King of all days, reign in our hearts and ride on our praise. You are crowned with majesty. Awaken us now, set us ablaze. Let your kingdom come, let your name be raised. Hear the song of the redeemed. Be exalted as we sing. Hail to the King, hail to the living Word. Let praise arise, heaven and earth. Let your name be raised. Hear the song of the redeemed. Exalted as we sing. Hail to the King. Hail to the living Word. Let praise arise, heaven and earth. Sing praise to the Lamb seated on the throne. Power and strength yours alone. Hail to the King. Hear the song of the redeemed. Be exalted as we sing.
Pastor comes to speak, we have a video to introduce the message.
On the mountain, in the valley, in the crowded streets, or the empty desert, in our hope and in our waiting, we are never alone.
God is with us, and that's what we celebrate in this season. We celebrate it year-round, but especially this season as we build to the celebration of Christmas Day, we are reminded of Emmanuel. God is with us. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to be looking at how God is with us in the valleys. God is with us in the desert. God is with us on the mountaintop. And so today we'll be starting with the series with how he is with us in the valley. And as you're looking there, I want to tell you that Christmas is one of the most exciting seasons. It's a time that you can get out as you're out. Now, it wasn't real exciting yesterday evening because I was out shopping. That part doesn't excite me. You know, that's kind of the drudgery of it because you got to get everything done and you only have so much time to do that. And the hustle and bustle of the season, a lot of times we forget the joy and what we're celebrating. But yesterday, earlier in the afternoon, we had a Christmas parade here in our community, and it was just fun to be a part of that. And those kind of things where you're celebrating Christmas and celebrating the Christ of Christmas and seeing that message clearly on display. So it was a beautiful day for a parade, too. I mean, how many times do you go to a Christmas parade and get to wear a T-shirt? I mean, this is, we've been spoiled, and that's about to change this week. You know, we've been very spoiled with the temperatures in the 60s and even the 70s in November and, you know, first couple days of December. But reality is going to hit this week. We're going to get into a cold snap. And sometimes that's what happens in life, too. You know, things just seem kind of nice and comfortable, and all of a sudden, reality hits us, and we're in the midst of a cold snap, or we're in a valley. And so this song, or this scripture is going to help us. Scared you there for a minute, didn't I? When I said this song, but this scripture is going to help us today. Turn with me then to Matthew chapter 11. Let's read verses 2 through 6. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John these things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the gathering around your word today and the gathering around your throne to lift up praise to you, Father, and be able to come and just lift up your name in worship and be able to lift up these needs in prayer that we have prayed for today, Father, and be able to encourage each other all the way, as your word tells us in Hebrews, so that we might be doing the work of the church, Father. And this is that time of the year where many are tuned in to the message. And Father, help us to clearly proclaim the good news that God is with us, not only in the Christmas season, but year around. Father, help us to speak words of encouragement to our neighbors, those that are going through difficult times now, Father. Yes, even those going through the valley, may we celebrate the joy of Christmas with them, Father, and give them a message of hope and encouragement. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. This exciting time in the life of the church as we approach this season of Advent, as we approach this season of celebrating Christ. It's also an exciting time in the life of our church because tonight we'll be gathering together and setting men apart for the deacon ministry. I want to encourage you to come back to that tonight at 6 o'clock, but it's a time of celebration. It's a holy time. Holy means set apart. And so we'll be setting apart 5 men for the deacon ministry this tonight at 6 o'clock. So I want to encourage you to come back and celebrate with your church there. We'll also be having our Christmas program coming up on the 17th. Want to encourage you to bring a friend, bring a neighbor, and come celebrate Christmas with us and in Christmas Eve service. So be sure to take care of all the things, or take part in all the things that are celebrating this season of Christmas. So the series I want to do this week is God is with us, or God with us. And we'll be taking a look at how he is with us in the valleys, in the desert, and on the mountaintops. Do you remember that song that was written by Chris Christopherson? And he sung it to you, and several others have sung it, but it was just that simple song, "Why Me, Lord? Why Me, Lord?" But it's a song with a good message in it, because as he goes on, he says, "Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you or the kindness you've shown?" And then in his chorus, he says, "Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it so. Help me, Jesus. I know what I am. Now that I know that I needed you so, help me, Jesus. My soul is in your hand." God is with us. And I want you to know that the message of this song really was that he's asking the question, "Why have you done these things for me, Lord?" But what about you and I? What, when we say, "Why me, Lord?" what are we usually saying? We're usually saying it more with a demanding tone. "Why me, Lord? Oh, why me? What have I ever done?" Not to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known from him, but what have I ever done to deserve this treatment I'm getting right now? What have I done to deserve having to work with this coworker? What have I done to deserve this flat tire on my car or whatever? We ask that question, "Why me, Lord?" usually with a demanding tone of, "What's happening to me? Why is this happening to me?" Maybe you asked this question this morning when you spilt your coffee on your church clothes. Maybe you asked this question this morning as you, or yesterday or the day before, as you're dealing with a difficult coworker. Maybe you asked it the last time you had a flat tire, or that you were dealing with a frustrating situation and you said, "Why me, Lord?" and you lamented about the situation that you were in. Just the other day, I pulled behind a slow tractor when I was in a hurry. And I said, "Why me, Lord? You know, I got places to go." That tractor doesn't know that. The farmer on the tractor doesn't know that I'm in a hurry. You know, he's doing his job. He's doing his work. But a lot of times we say, "Why me?" Or you get behind a slow driver. Or in the checkout lane at Walmart, we'll say, "Why me, Lord? Why did I pick this line?" But the reality is these are all small examples, just small complications of life. They're small compared to what many people are experiencing right now in this season. This week alone, I've been in touch with folks who've had some major setbacks. A family who lost a wonderful wife and mother. Another family who lost a patriarch, a dear man of God who served his church and his family well. Another family facing a difficult life decision. Another family who's facing the holidays for the first time without a loved one. Maybe today as I speak these words, you're thinking the same things, that this year's a little different. This year we're in a valley and the holidays are going to be a little more difficult. But yet we still go on, don't we? We still complain when nothing seems to be going right, or we ask God a simple question, "Why? Why is this happening to me? After all that I've done for you, why do I have to put up with this difficult coworker? I'm a good person compared to that other person I have to work with." Jordan Wiseman of Life Church writes an article entitled, "Why, God, Why?" At times, our expectations of what God would do or should do are different from what God actually does. And he writes, if God always met your expectations, he wouldn't be God. He would be your personal assistant. No one knew this better than John the Baptist. John was sitting in prison in our text today, sitting in a dirty prison cell, wondering. And he's sitting in this cell because Herod was mad at him. He was mad at him for preaching the truth. Herod was mad at him because he pointed out his relationship with his wife wasn't proper. John made Herod mad because of his relationship choices. And if you read your Bible, it's a crazy story. But he's thrown into prison. And he has to be sitting there waiting and wondering. Waiting on Jesus. After all, why wouldn't Jesus come now and rescue him? The Messiah was here. Things are supposed to be different. So when we come into this text today, we find this passage where Matthew describes a classic valley experience, a time with, like John the Baptist, that you ask those questions, who and where is Jesus? So the first thing I want us to see today out of this text is John's asking that question, Ercomai, where are you the one? Are you the one who is to come? And this is this written in that messianic expectation. It's not just, are you the one, but are you the one who was to come? He's asking, are you the Messiah? Are you the promised one? Are you the one the prophets have talked about? Are you our deliverer? Are you our Messiah, the coming one? Or should we look for another? It's a legitimate question in a time of doubt. John is in this valley. In other words, he's saying, are you actually who you say you are? Are you really the Messiah? And if you are, why am I sitting in this jail cell? Or maybe he even asked something like this, why me, Lord? Why would the one who promised to set the prisoners free leave me in this rotten jail? Now think about that a moment. This is John the Baptist. You see the picture up there? John the Baptizer. This is John the Baptist who baptized Jesus, who saw something in Jesus, who said as he looked upon Jesus, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That day, John was not doubting. That day, John was proclaiming. He was the forerunner. He is the one saying, this is Jesus, the Messiah, the Lamb of God. Meaning that he was the lamb whose blood would be slain, and his blood would be shed for the forgiveness of our sins. He is the Messiah, the Lamb of God. The one who proclaimed this is now the one who has doubts. John's doubts led him to send two of his disciples to Jesus with this question, Ercomai, are you the one? It's likely that John went through depression during this time because he had, along with others, this popular expectation of who the Messiah was, who Jesus was. You see, Jesus, the Messiah, was the one who would come to set Israel free. Jesus would rescue Israel from the political oppressions of the Romans. Then he would lead the charge to overtake the reigning political power. In other words, if you are the Messiah and I am the messenger, then why am I in a jail cell and opposition to you is growing? Legitimate question. It would have played well on the news channels of that day. It's understandable that in this face of this kind of opposition, that John would have his doubts. Jesus faced opposition throughout his ministry by those who doubted him because he did not fulfill their expectations. We know better now. We've seen the full story. We have the complete story right here in this book. They didn't have it yet. We know the truths about Jesus. We can go back and say, see this Old Testament prophecy, it was fulfilled by this New Testament event right here. We know that, but they didn't know that. And so in the midst of that, they're looking at Jesus and he's not measuring up to their standard. And opposition is growing, and John the Baptist is wondering, as he's sitting in a dirty prison cell, Erchomai, are you the one? Are you the one? John, my friend, was in a valley. John was in a valley. How about you today? Are you in any kind of valley of doubt? Is your faith being tested? Are you unsure about how Jesus is going to come through in a certain situation? Maybe you're facing some financial difficulties. Maybe you're worried about your health or a diagnosis you just got. Maybe relationships are strained. Maybe your marriage isn't what it should be. And you're in a valley. And you're wondering, are we going to make it through this? Are we going to make it through this? John was in a valley of despair, a valley of depression, a valley of doubt, a valley of fear. Have you ever been there? Have you ever gone through the valley? Notice Jesus' reply. Turn with me to 4, verse 4. Jesus answered. I just love sometimes just stopping and thinking, Jesus answered. Jesus answers. Jesus answers. Don't be afraid to ask the questions. Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. You see, they report what they've seen. If we go to the next slide, my thing's not working. Jesus says, in answer to John's question, Erchomai, are you the one? He says, go and tell John. Go and tell John. It's the same call that you and I have. Go and tell others what we've seen and what we've heard, what we've experienced. That's part of our testimony, our story. We've been going through a series called Three Circles on Sunday nights where we're talking about how to share our faith. But there's so many times you'll be challenged on that, but nobody can challenge your story because it's yours. It's your story. Tell your story. What have you seen? What have you experienced? What have you heard? What have you participated in that was a movement of Jesus, an experience of faith? Report what you've seen, he is saying. Jesus was not just replying here with an impromptu list that came to the top of his head, but he's listing out actual prophecy being fulfilled. For example, the references to the blind, the lame, and the deaf remind us of Isaiah 29 and 35, 5 and 6. Let's turn to Isaiah 35, 5 and 6, for example. Isaiah 35, 5 and 6. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. And we're going to talk more about the desert next week. But we see there. And in Isaiah 61:1, go ahead and flip over a few chapters to that verse. This is a verse that's well known. 61:1, because this is the same one Jesus quotes in the synagogue at Capernaum. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor and he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. You see, the Spirit of the Lord God was upon Jesus because he was the anointed one. He was the Messiah. Go and tell John these things. You see, John's heart, upon hearing this, that the lame walk, the blind see, the dead are raised, as he's quoting these things that they've seen and heard that Jesus reported to his disciples, John's heart would have leaped because he would have recognized those Old Testament prophecies. He was like the prophet Isaiah, the one in the wilderness, proclaiming the one to come. He knew Isaiah good and well. And so when he heard and was reminded of these passages and that these were the very things that Jesus was doing, it restored his heart it would have leaped at that moment because he would realize as a reminder what Jesus was saying to him. Yes, I am the one. I am the one. The anointed one, the Spirit of Almighty, bringing messages of healing and liberty. John understood and recognized that message. Now, it's interesting to me that the preaching of Jesus never pleased the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But the poor in spirit found hope, and those in need of salvation found liberty in Jesus. In many ways, as Jesus preached and as he went from town to town, he confused people because he was challenging their expectations of what a Messiah should say and what a Messiah should do. They expected the mighty warrior who would overthrow Roman oppression. They expected Jesus to do it the way they had it in their head, and missed out what Jesus was trying to do in their heart. They expected this mighty warrior, and the sad thing is most of the people Jesus confused by his message chose to reject the message rather than work through their misunderstandings. They rejected Jesus. And what did John do? He received. You see, John had ears to hear. His ears recognized the Messiah. After hearing that the blind see, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised to life, he knew that indeed the Messiah was upon the scene, that Jesus was there. Good news. John recognized then Jesus. Erchomai, are you the one? Yes, John. I am the one. And I want you to know today that Jesus is saying that to you today. He is the one. He is the anointed one. He is the one that is with you right now in whatever valley you may be experiencing. And then he adds an interesting note, Jesus does. He says this, blessed is he, our third point, blessed is he who is not offended by me. Blessed is he, why would Jesus say that? Blessed is he who is not offended by me. What does he mean by that? To understand this, we must again consider the setting. Here we have John the Baptist in a dirty prison cell. It looks like a dead end to his life. And he's wondering, Erchomai, are you the one? In other words, he has these doubts because he's in a spiritual valley and a physical valley. He's in the valley of doubt. He's in the valley of fear. He's about to lose his life. And he's wondering, Jesus, are you the one? Jesus, are you the one? And when we get there, oftentimes we doubt Jesus. And we get a little upset with Jesus. Jesus is saying basically here, blessed is he who is not offended by my activity or my seemingly lack of activity. Blessed is the one who's not offended by Jesus not doing it their way or meeting their expectations, but sees me in the midst of the storm, encounters my message, and recognizes my presence with them. Even in the valley. Because you see, some people are disappointed by the lack of activity of Jesus. And they wonder, where were you when I needed you the most? Prayers are not always answered according to their expectations. Have you ever been there? I have. And I think if we're honest with each other, we've all been in that point where it's hard for us to accept God's activity or his lack of activity in the midst of a valley experience. We are often the first one to say, why me, Lord? Why me? I would like to think that I would never do that to the Lord, but I did it. 25 years ago, diagnosed with cancer, I had just moved to a new church, and I'd only been there 6 months. And I sat in a doctor's office, and he said, you have cancer. You have the tumor about the size of a grapefruit attached to your appendix, and we need to do surgery right away. get your affairs in order and all that kind of stuff. Well, and many of you know the rest of that testimony that I've had 3 major surgeries within 9 months, and it went from bad to worse. And many times in that situation, I did what my first response was. My first response was, after the shock, you know, get in the car and I drive home and I go to church, nobody else is there, and I come to the altar. And I said, why me? And I asked God a question. Why would you move me 4 hours across the state of Missouri to a town I do not know, people I do not know, a church that's new to me, little kids, just to give me cancer? You like that? You know, God gave me cancer. Why me, Lord? What about my kids? What about my family? Why couldn't you have done this in a place where I knew the doctors and the hospitals and the area, and I had friends and family around me? Why me? That was my first response. And honestly, I ask the same questions in any kind of move, because I move 3 hours to Mountain Grove, and sometimes it's challenging, and sometimes I face things that I don't know really what to do with in that moment, and I'll say to Jesus, really? Really, God, really? Why me? Now, have you ever done that? Amen. Have you ever had one of those why me experiences? And I'm not talking about Chris Christopherson type. I'm talking about the type where we're asking God, why me? What did I do? It's hard for us to wrap our minds around things sometimes. And honestly, we have those questions that we face from time to time. But if you're not facing some of that at times in your life, you've got to ask, why not? Why am I any different? Jesus is saying that you will be disappointed at times by his seemingly lack of activity, but do not be offended. Prayers are not always answered the way that you expect, but people are not always cured of cancer. I've lost people that I love dearly to cancer. Your business may go bankrupt. Your prodigal may never return home. And John the Baptist still lost his head. But I tell you this, he didn't lose it not knowing that Jesus was the Messiah. One of the things I love most about God is that when you are down, and when you are in the valley, but you are in the Word and you're listening to the shepherd, he moves, he speaks. You will hear him and you will grow through faith in that experience. I often expect that God's going to answer all my prayers, but it's not always the way that I expect. But ultimately, the battle and the victory belongs to the Lord. And he's already won it. Even in the midst of the valley, victory is promised. One day I was reminded of God's walking with me in the valleys as I was going through my morning devotions. And I was reading through 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and Jehoshaphat was facing enemies from 3 different sides. The Moabites, the Ammonites, the Mennonites. Not the Mennonites, they're good. The Mennonites. Okay. All these 3 armies had unified with the single intention of destroying Israel. Nothing short of a miracle of God would save them from destruction, would save Israel from being wiped off the map. But instead of plotting their survival, Jehoshaphat did this. He chose to lead the people in a prayer. A prayer that confessed their total dependence upon God. Sometimes we're in the valley, and that's the very place we need to recognize the shepherd. And we need to depend upon him to get us through the valley. Not our own abilities, not our own resources, not our own strength or willpower, but the shepherd. Complete dependence upon the shepherd. Maybe you're not facing all the ites in a battle right now, but you're facing some personal battles. You're not sure of your way out of the valley, and you feel that defeat is certain. And that's exactly where the enemy wants you. And that's exactly how he wants you to feel. He wants you in a state of despair, in a state of defeat, fear, and hopelessness. And then he whispers in your ear, where is your God now? Where is your God now? I'm here to tell you that your God is with you. I'm here to remind you that David wrote in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The rod and the staff of the shepherd. He is with you in the valley. I'm telling you here today that God is with you in the valley. And that is one of the reasons we celebrate God intervening into human history and splitting time in two. Emmanuel, God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And all because of what Jesus said and done and overcame, you and I are overcomers today. Our circumstances are not necessarily a reflection of His goodness, but His presence in those circumstances is. You're blessed when you can trust God in the valley and not just the mountaintops. He is the God of the mountaintops. Praise God for the mountaintop experiences. But He's also the God of the valley. And He's with us in the valley. You may have seen Him move mountains and done great things, and today you're in a place where you're doubting. Even though you can look back and see what He did here, you find yourself wrapped up in the despair and the depression, and you're listening to the enemy telling you, "Where's God now?" You just need to turn to Him, look Him square in the face, and say, "God is with me. God is with me." I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were concerned about things in their past because they know that God is leading them to do some things in the future. And they said, "But I don't know what to do about my past." And it seems like that it just keeps coming up in my mind. And I said, "Friend, that's the enemy. He's reminding you of your past so he can discourage you in the future. But what you need to do is remind him that you've been forgiven of your past and remind the devil of his future. It doesn't look very good for him. I'm going to stand with God. Even in the valley." Sometimes the blessing comes even when you don't see the breakthrough immediately. My friend Don, who passed away this week, to many would think they would say she lost her battle. She lost a physical battle with cancer, but she did not lose her battle, because the victory is hers, and she's standing in the presence of Jesus today. She's been set free, totally free. So sometimes the breakthrough is not a physical healing, but it's the ultimate healing that we receive in the Lord. So I want you to celebrate Emmanuel this year. Emmanuel, God with us. And know that right now, as you approach this season, that there may be some valleys that you're in, some difficulties that you're facing, some struggles that you have. But I want you to know that God is with you. Next week, we're going to be talking about how God is with us in the desert, those times of loneliness and despair, that God is with us, even when we feel like we're all alone. And then we're going to talk about the mountaintop. And then we're going to focus in on Isaiah 7:14, on the word Emmanuel. And then we're going to celebrate that night at our candle lighting service, God with us. So as you stand together today, set your mind on this truth. God is with us. He is with us right now. And if you're in a valley today, I want you to surrender to Him today. Maybe what you need to be worried about today is not what you're going to get your coworker for Christmas, or did you get this Secret Santa gift, and all those things. Those are the little things that, you know, the busyness of the holiday can get us so distracted. And we can have a lot of fun during this time too, but let's not forget, God is with us. God is with us. And we're celebrating this fact here today, that means more than just a baby in a manger. That means a man who grew and became strong, lived among us, showed us how to live and to love and how to show compassion. He showed us what a Messiah really is. He died on the cross for our sins. His blood was shed so that you and I could be forgiven for our past and set on a path of liberty in our future. He was raised on that third day so that we could know that we can overcome anything. Jesus went through the ultimate valley, the valley of death. And He laid down His life, but it was raised on that third day So you will make it through your valley. Do you know the shepherd took the sheep through a valley to get him to the plateau land, the land of grass, where they could graze in comfort? They still had to go through the valley, and in the valley they had to watch out for the wolves. That's why the shepherd was there with his rod and his staff. And the rod and staff wasn't always used. I've always found this interesting. A shepherd's look at the Psalms, great book. The rod wasn't always used to beat off a wolf. Sometimes it was used on the sheep, and the hook was used to rescue a sheep and to pull them away from danger. The shepherd is with us. And sometimes the things that we go through can be tough, but he has his eye on us. He's taking us through that valley because there are wolves on either side looking for any way that they might bite at our heels or take us down. But the shepherd is with us. So you may feel like the enemy's nipping at your toes right now, that he is after you, that you feel overcome or overwhelmed or depressed or discouraged. Maybe there's something you're very fearful of right now. God is with you. Give it to the Lord. And maybe you're here today and you've never joined in with the sheep and became part of the shepherd's family. Maybe today he's saying, I want you to be my sheep. Will you become one of the flock? Will you become a part of a great church family and a great kingdom family by saying yes to Jesus and uniting with his church?
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame.
John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb that came to take away the sins of the world is now at the right hand of the Father. Worship is going on around the throne all the time. Worship is going on here now as we think of that great gift that was given to us. As we celebrate Christmas, that God is with us. It's an exciting time, family. It's an exciting time to see what God is doing in the life of his people. That he is with us today. Let's pray. Father God, you are with us. You are truly Emmanuel. Lord of lords, kings of kings, wonderful counselor. Oh, to see the words of Isaiah fulfilled in the New Testament through Jesus Christ the Messiah, and to know today through his word that Jesus is the Son of God. To know today through his Spirit that he is in us and with us, that we are not worshiping a God afar off, but we're worshiping a God who's with us right now and whose presence is with us right now. So as we continue in worship, Father, we say, worthy is the Lamb. Amen.
You can be seated. We're going to receive the offering at this time, if the ushers could come forward. And during the offering, we're going to be showing a couple of videos. One is the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And James, I forgot to warn you, that one's a lot louder than the other one. So be prepared. Let's pray for the offering. How many of you, besides me, didn't notice that the pastor shaved this morning? I just realized that. I thought, wait a minute, something's different here. We're so keen on observing things, aren't we? Let's stand together and sing Mighty Cross.
Surrender to the mighty cross of Jesus Christ, the earth would shake beneath the weight of darkened skies. On his cross, a crown of sorrow for a king whose weakness was our strength. No word he spoke, his love was shown for all to see. Oh, the cross of Jesus Christ is the set me free. It will
That's why Jesus came. He was came to be born, and he lived his life, but he really came for the cross. And that was the whole reason for his coming. Scott, did you have an announcement you wanted to make? Come on ahead. Aren't you glad that Christ came for us? God with us. Let's sing this morning, All the Earth Will Sing Your Praises. After this song, we'll be dismissed. You gave your life away for us. You came down, you saved us through the cross. Our hearts are changed because of your great love. You lived, you died, you said in 3 days you would rise, you did. You're alive. Best.